I'm excited about the paperback version of Darwin's Doubt because the publishers allowed me to write a chapter responding to the main critics of the book. And I think this is exciting because it's really going to advance the debate.
So says Stephen Meyer, the author of the explosive New York Times bestseller Darwin's Doubt, which is now being released in an expanded paperback version. In Darwin's Doubt, Meyer lays out the amazing scientific evidence for intelligent design at the dawn of animal life. And he reveals the debates going on among top scientists about Darwin's theory, debates that the mainstream media ignore. Darwin's Doubt has just been released in paperback with a brand new chapter. Get Darwin's Doubt today at darwinsdoubt.com. That's darwinsdoubt.com.
This is Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Today, part two of a conversation with Casey Luskin as he takes a critical look at the new Cosmos television series. The 2014 show is a reboot of the 1980 series presented by Carl Sagan. Is the new show different than its predecessor? Is it open to different perspectives, or does it promote the same materialistic credo that Sagan offered in his version, that the cosmos is all that is, or was, or ever will be? On this episode, we discuss Cosmos's treatment of the history of science and the response from historians of science. You'll also hear how Cosmos promotes false stories about religion's opposition to science and how it disregards religion's positive influences on science. Casey Luskin is an attorney with bachelor's and master's degrees in earth sciences from the University of California at San Diego and a law degree from the University of San Diego. He is research coordinator at the Discovery Institute and has co-authored or contributed to several books about intelligent design and evolution. So Casey, tell us about Cosmos's treatment of the history of science.
Well, throughout the series, Andrew, Tyson repeatedly invokes this theme that religion is at war with science and somehow opposes scientific advancement. The first episode of Cosmos was talked about a lot. It covers the 16th century philosopher Giordano Bruno, whom Tyson says lived in a world without freedom of speech or separation of church and state, and he says that Bruno fell prey to the quote-unquote thought police. Now, the program shows angry Catholic priests with evil-sounding British accents dressed in full religious garb, burning Bruno at the stake. The problem is that the story is simply not true. Bruno was not a scientist, and he was not executed for promoting heliocentrism. As Jay Richards points out, Bruno was condemned because he denied the doctrine of the Trinity, the virgin birth, the transubstantiation, and claimed that all would be saved, and taught that there was an infinite swarm of eternal worlds, of which ours was only one. So obviously, it was tragic that Bruno was killed for his beliefs, and it was completely wrong that he was persecuted because of what he believed, however heretical his beliefs might have been at that time. But this was not a case of the church persecuting a scientist. Instead, it was a case of the church persecuting a pro-occult philosopher. Thus, even staunch evolutionists, those kinds of people who would be strongly predisposed to support Cosmos, have criticized the series' false claims about Bruno and scientific history. Hank Campbell points out that Bruno not only denied the church's teachings, but promoted the occult worship of Egyptian deities. Campbell notes that Bruno was not only revived as a scientist and a martyr for science by the anti-religious humanists in the 19th century. Peter Hess of the National Center for Science Education, he said, quote, "I also saw, among the compelling video of the solar system and galaxies, considerable slipshod history of science and a curiously anti-religious bias." He goes on to say, "It is troubling that Cosmos, as its only historical background, chose to portray a fallaciously interpreted version of the tragic story of Giordano Bruno." So what was going on here is that Cosmos was basically rewriting history to cast Bruno as a scientific martyr and promote these atheist myths, essentially.
Huh, so even would-be supporters are making criticisms of the show.
Yeah, that was what was very significant, is that people who you would have expected to support Cosmos were attacking the revisionist history, the anti-religious bias, where they tried to portray the church as persecuting a scientist in Giordano Bruno.
So what's been the response from historians of science to this?
Well, I think this is an interesting part of the story, Andrew, because some of them who are very much sort of pro-science, and I'm all for being pro-science, whatever you want to define that is we can talk about, but they've been mulling over whether it's acceptable for Cosmos to lie, quote-unquote, in their words, when defending the authority of science. They are aware that Cosmos has presented a distorted history of science, and they're talking about whether it's okay for Cosmos to do that in order to defend science. So, for example, historian Joseph Martin proposes that granting Cosmos, quote, the artistic license to lie might be okay if that's done in, quote, service of a greater truth. He writes, quote, that perhaps the greater truth here is that we do need to promote greater public trust in science if we're going to tackle some of the frankly quite terrifying challenges ahead, and maybe a touch of taradiddle in that direction isn't the worst thing, unquote. Well, what is a taradiddle? I'll confess I had to look this up. It's not a word we use every day. A taradiddle, of course, is a lie. That's the definition of a taradiddle. And he's saying that it might be okay for science to tell taradiddles, or lies essentially, if that helps, quote, promote greater public trust in science, unquote. Now, in my opinion, and I'm sure you would feel the same way, there shouldn't even be a debate over whether, when defending truth, it's ever justified to lie. But really, the concerning thing here is that if Cosmos must enlist falsehoods in order to gain our trust, is that trust deserved?
That's a great question, Casey. Well, you've had a lot to say about how Cosmos scrubbed religion's positive influence on the development of science. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is sort of the taradiddle that Dr. Martin was alluding to, was this distorted history of science and religion, where Cosmos basically scrubs any of religion's positive historical influences upon the development of science. So, for example, in the third episode, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the host, calls Isaac Newton, quote, a God-loving man and a genius. So this is good. He recognizes these positive qualities in Newton. But then he goes on to talk about Newton's religious faith and says that Newton's religious studies, quote, never led anywhere because faith, quote, serves as the closing of a door. It doesn't lead to other questions. So the message here is very simple. Doing science requires throwing off the shackles of religion. And again, the history of science tells a very different story. The founders of modern science, including Newton himself, were inspired to do research precisely because of their religious beliefs. Newton believed in a loving, truthful, and personal God who would create an orderly, intelligible universe, one that God wanted us to discover and enjoy, and it was these theological beliefs that propelled Newton and others to investigate nature in a scientific manner. And Tyson tells his viewers none of this. Instead, he promotes a revisionist history that ignores a chorus of prominent historians of science who recognize these positive influences of religion upon science. For example, John Hedley Brook from Oxford University explains that early scientists, quote, saw the study of nature as a religious duty. And he says that for Newton, as for Boyle and Descartes, there were laws of nature only because there had been a legislator. Holmes Rolston, who's a very eminent scholar of science and religion and a winner of the Templeton Prize, he writes, quote, it was monotheism that launched the coming of physical science, for it premised an intelligible world, sacred but disenchanted, a world with blueprint, which was therefore open to the searches of the scientists. The great pioneers of physics, Newton, Galileo, Kepler, Copernicus, devoutly believed themselves called to find evidences of God in the physical world, unquote. And we can go on and on like this. Ian Barbour, who's been called the founder of the very field that studies science and religion, he explains how religion inspired the scientific revolution and was very important in the Royal Society of London, which instructed its fellows to direct their studies to, quote, the glory of God and the benefits of the human race. Cosmos mentions that early scientists worked with the Royal Society, but it omits any mention of the strong positive influences of religion within that group. And this isn't the only place that Cosmos distorts the relationship of science and religion. The series also distorts facts about pre-Christian conceptions of science. In the fifth episode, Tyson praises the ancient Chinese philosopher Mo Zi, whose ideas included what Tyson calls the early stirrings of the scientific approach, as well as political theories encouraging love and egalitarian values. But what happens? Well, Tyson attempts to cast Mo Zi as a secular innovator, and he apparently says Mo Zi's famous book was titled Against Faith. In fact, I think it's worth our listeners to listen to what Tyson says so they can hear what he says the title of Mo Zi's famous book was. So here's what Tyson says.
Against faith. Against faith. Against faith.
Tyson goes on to say that Mo Zi warned against blind obedience to ritual and authority. Well, in actuality, Mo Zi's work was not titled Against Faith. It was titled Against Fate, or Rejecting Fatalism, and he advocated monotheism in a Christian-like ethic. You wouldn't have learned any of this from watching Cosmos, which spun Mo Zi as sort of this secular innovator, and it was because of his secular views that he came up with an early version of the scientific method. Now, here's an interesting point, Andrew, that a lot of historians of science have recognized. Why did science not blossom in China? Why did Mozi not spark a secular scientific revolution? Or why did science only arise in the West? Well, Ian Barbour, who we mentioned earlier, he answers this question. He says, quote, many historians of science have acknowledged the importance of the Western religious tradition in molding assumptions about nature that were congenial to the scientific enterprise, unquote. So the answer to why science only arose in the West has a lot to do with the Judeo-Christian worldview, which permeated Western culture. And you can see many historians of science have talked about this. So we have eminent historians of science like Ronald Numbers saying things like, quote, the greatest myth in the history of science and religion holds that they have been in a constant state of warfare. Or another very respected historian of science, David C. Lindbergh, says, quote, there was no warfare between science and the church. What's going on here is Cosmos whitewashes this chorus of historians refuting the warfare thesis of science and religion, and who agree that religion, and specifically the Christian religion in the Western tradition, has had a positive influence on science. And instead it presents this shallow but false revisionist formula, which is that science is good and religion is bad. And that formula is totally betrayed by the history of science. And because of this revisionist history, you have these historians of science that are asking, is it okay for science to lie? Those are not my words. They use the word to tell a teradiddle. They're asking whether it's okay for Cosmos to do this if that defends the authority of science. And some of them are actually saying yes. But in my opinion, that's very disturbing whenever you say that it's okay to lie in service of the truth. And I think that we should be very disturbed at the false portrait of the history of science and religion that's being put out by Cosmos.
Huh. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to break all this down. As you say, listeners or readers or viewers are not going to always have access to all this research, and it's always good to take a look at the other side. So thanks for your time, Casey.
Thank you, Andrew.
Stay tuned for more episodes with Casey Luskin on Cosmos as we help you separate the science from the materialist philosophy. I'm Andrew McDermott with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.